Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brewer, and I'm so glad you're with us today. Austin, I tell you what, I love the music at the beginning of our show. That's from the movie Last of the Mohicans. I forgot the name of the actual ballad. It's a Scottish ballad. And I watched that movie with your mom the other night, showing the tyranny that Great Britain had the settlers under when they were having the French and Indian War back in the early mid-1800s, right before the, mid-1700s, right before the Revolutionary War. And it really shows a lot of what the country was like and what they were having to go through back then. So if you guys ever get a chance, watch Last of the Mohicans with Daniel Day-Lewis. Probably, I think, his best movie he's ever done. He actually played a part of a leading man who you could actually like. And that wasn't one of these crazy parts, though. He is a true thespian. I will give him that. Austin, what is your first story for the day?
Oh, first one now. This is a fun story on water. You know, we bring water up all the time now, and there's definitely so many aspects of water. Do you have your headset on?
I do not. I'll put back on a second. I'm going to turn the air on for a second.
Okay. I was wondering, because I'm hearing myself. The first study here was there was a water study they've done that examined the dietary habits of more than 18,000 U.S. adults. And they found the majority of people who increased their consumption of water by just 1% reduced their total daily intake of calories as well as their consumption of fats and sugar. University of Illinois, a health professor, examined data from four waves of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey conducted by the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics. For these study participants were asked to recall everything they ate or drank over the course of 2 days that were 3 to 10 days apart. Basically calculated all this, everything they ate with plain water, and figured out all this stuff. And the results they found was that those who increased their consumption by 1, 2, or 3 cups of water daily decreased their total food intake between 68 to almost 300 calories daily. They also reduced their sugar by almost 18 grams daily. And they found in there, they said the impact of water intake on diet was similar all across the board. Race, ethnicity, education, income levels, body weight status did not matter. The findings indicated that it might be sufficient to design and deliver universal nutrition interventions and education campaigns that promote water consumption in place of beverages with calories in diverse population subgroups without profound concerns about message and strategy customization. Essentially what he's saying is there's everybody needs to increase their water intake, and that's why we always recommend so much about drinking clean water. And that's the first thing I tell people all the time on the phone when they call in and they're asking about trying to lose weight. I'm like, okay, do you drink sodas? Well, yeah, I do occasionally. Sometimes I have tea. Sometimes I have coffee with this and that. I said, well, you need to cut all that out. That's the first thing you need to do is cut all sugary beverages like that out completely. That right there will eliminate a large percentage of your useless calories that you're eating every day and replace that with good, purified, distilled, or at least reverse osmosis water. That's why our distillers are so popular here, because everybody loves the way the water tastes when they do it. I mean, we've talked about it numerous times, Dad. I mean, over and over and over again. Anything else you want to add on that as far as water consumption and body weight and fat loss?
Absolutely. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The thyroid, it thinks that chlorine and fluorine are iodine because they're halogens. They're all halogens. And it absorbs the chlorine and the fluorine into the thyroid gland, and it causes hypothyroidism. It massively slows down your metabolism, massively makes you gain weight in many cases, or it can also cause hyperthyroidism and do Graves' disease, exact opposite. So it's definitely affecting the thyroid, because remember, these chemicals they're putting into the water supply are toxins. They're poisons. And I was just speaking to a man here just a few minutes ago, and he was asking me, well, can you run just regular tap water, just city municipal water, through a distillation system? And my response was absolutely yes, because you can basically eliminate everything out of it. Now, if you have a real heavily chlorinated tap water, what I recommend that you do is you run it through like a Brita filter first, which is you buy those at Walmart or Sam's or wherever you want to buy them for $25 with the cartridges, and you just run the water through them and take the chlorine out first. So the tape makes it a little bit easier on everything when you get chlorine out of it first, but it doesn't make a difference. If you don't want to do that, you can still do it. I know at the office, Austin, we run just straight tap water through the distiller there, and we don't filter it at all first, and the water is delicious. And what people need to understand is this. Water is absolutely critical. I remember when you were going into the Marine Corps years ago, and you had qualified as an officer at the age of 19 to be accepted into the Marines, one of the youngest officers ever accepted into the Marine Corps. I remember that they told you they could, you could do sleep deprivation, you could do all kinds of stuff, but you could not do water deprivation. Remember that? And he said that they've tried every type of battlefield scenario they could do, but they learned very quickly with soldiers you could not restrict their water intake, because once you started doing that, the muscles cramped, the brains fogged, blood got too thick, heart pounded too hard, they had strokes, on and on and on. They said they could not do water deprivation whatsoever. You had to have your water. And then what I recommend is half your body weight in fluid ounces every single day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, that's 100 ounces of water a day. That's 10 ounce glasses. Now, what I do first thing in the morning, I get up and I have a 22-ounce glass of water. It's in a big glass that I got from Walmart. And I hate promoting Walmart because I really loathe this place, but this is where I got it from because they put everybody else out of business in our little town we're in. And I got this, I have this big 22-ounce thing of water that I drink, and I'll put a purple stick in it with some powdered vitamin C. That's the first thing I put into my body because your body's dehydrated because you lose about 4 ounces of water at night while you're breathing through respiration. That's why when you fog up a mirror when it's cold outside, because that's water vapor coming out of your lungs. Because remember, your blood is losing water as it's exchanging for oxygen, and so you're constantly in a dehydration mode. So that's the first thing I do, is I replace that water I used all night when I was sleeping, and then I basically use the purple stick because I don't want to use coffee because coffee elevates the cortisol. Now, I've noticed this week that my body weight had got it creaked back up about 199. I try to keep it around 193, 195, 196. I'm up about 3 pounds from where I want to be. So I immediately did the following. Yesterday I told Sharon, I said, I've got to go back on chicken and vegetables. Now, I'm going to make something really, really simple for you guys. This is so simple. If you want to burn body fat and maintain lean muscle mass, you have to eat 6 small meals a day. And what I recommend that you do is that you multiply your ideal weight by 10. So if you're a guy and you want to weigh 180 pounds, that's 1,800 calories a day divided by 6 is 6 300-calorie meals per day. And that's a very small meal. It's more of a snack. And if you do it with grilled chicken or even baked chicken, and you do it with vegetables, organic, everything needs to be organic, and you eat these meals throughout the day, you stay full the whole day, and you start hemorrhaging weight after about a week. You start just pouring weight off your body because the body doesn't elevate insulin when you do that. It maintains a very steady supply of insulin and glucagon, and your glucagon is released to help the body release stored body fat for energy and for fuel. It's the easiest way. I've had people lose 40, 50, 60, 100 pounds. I mean, thousands of people over the years have helped to do this. And it's a really good, clean diet. Now, you don't have to stick with just chicken. You can do fish, but it needs to be broiled or baked. You can do beef, but you got to do that in moderation because of the fat content. You got to watch your calories in it, but it's still good for you. And you just eat that way all the time. That's called eating clean. That's eating real, real clean. You can get lean. You can get your stomach muscles back out. You can look good for the winter, for the summertime, for the beach, whatever you want to do. You can drop a whole bunch. My attorney, John Parvin, who's been my friend and who's my roommate in college for 40 years, Gosh, I've known him for 40 years. He came over the other day, and he had dropped like 15 pounds and lost like 6 inches in his waist. And I said, John, what have you done? He goes, because he's my age. And he goes, well, I went back on your program with the fish and the chicken and the vegetables. And he goes, and the small meals. And he goes, Ted, I've already, you know, I'm down like 4 or 5 inches of my waist. I cannot believe how much weight I'm losing. And he goes, the thing about it is I'm full all the time. Very, very simple to do it that way. Now, if you want to really make it work better, drink the water along with it. That's super important. Without the chlorine and the fluoride, take CLA, which is called conjugated linoleic acid. That works great. And take HGH stimulate. I was taking that once a day. I'm back up to 2 times a day on that. That really increases human growth hormone through the pituitary gland because it stimulates that, which makes your body burn even more fat. My wife says it helped get rid of her cellulite. So it burns body fat and cellulite. It's called HGH Stimulate. It's a great product. It's on our website. It's also on the bodybyted.com website on the front page, Body by Ted. And it's also at the healthmasters.com website. And in addition to that, you need to combine cardio with weight training. And you need to work out 4 to 6 times a week for no more than 25 to 30 minutes and no more than 5 to 10 minutes of cardio in that. Just real quick in and out workouts. No reason to sit in the gym for 4 or 5 hours. No reason unless you're a bodybuilder and you're trying to enter a contest or whatever. There's no reason to train that hard. It's hard on the joints. And realize the CLA, the conjugated linoleic acid, the HGH stimulate, the water, the low glycemic carbohydrates on the diet I just told you to do, that will make you, and the water will help you to really, really get in shape very, very quickly. I know, Austin, you've entered several bodybuilding contests. Do you have any other comments you want to make on that or what else you can do? And I'll tell the guys about the extra stuff they can do to elevate their testosterone that you have that wasn't even available when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Well, you made some pretty valid points on there. And another thing you can also do that I've found to be very effective, especially in the morning, you were saying the CLA and the HGH stimulate stack first thing in the morning with water. One of the best things to do before you eat breakfast is to do about 15 to 20 minutes of just mild cardio on an empty stomach. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to go sprinting and go running, but just getting your heart rate pretty, you know, to a solid elevated point, just where you're just starting to sweat. I personally have always used a elliptical bicycle in one of my back rooms in there whenever I get ready for contests. Usually 5 to 6 days a week every morning. Just wake up, take water, supplements, and then when I'm getting ready for a contest because I'm trying to maintain as much muscle tissue as possible, why I'm doing the cardio on an empty stomach, I'm drinking the branched chain amino acids that we carry. We carry a non-GMO branched chain amino acids with L-glutamine. There's no calories, there's no sugar, it's sweetened with stevia, so it doesn't spike insulin, it doesn't cause your body to have any energy. What it does, though, is it provides the basic branched chain amino acids that helps preserve muscle tissue along with the L-glutamine while you're doing the cardio in the morning on an empty stomach. One of the best, fastest ways to burn body fat in conjunction with what he said. And yes, the other products we also have are the Tribulus Fuel. We have a Bulgarian Tribulus Fuel that's standardized to a 95% extract, pretty much the highest you can find anywhere. Very, very pure, very high quality. And we also carry the Tribulus Fuel, which is an even stronger compound, but it is a little bit pricier. I usually recommend people start with the Tribulus Fuel first and see how they respond to that, and then later on use the Tongat if they're really serious, and run those products for about 6 to 8 weeks on and off. And you can also take the Dimension we have, which is estrogen control. That helps to do is metabolize any estrogen that is converted from the extra testosterone your body is naturally making. What happens is if your estrogen starts getting too high, even if your natural testosterone production is going up, there's going to be a small percentage that is converted into estrogen. Any estrogen that's converted, if it gets too high in the body will actually naturally start to down-regulate its own testosterone because your estrogen is getting too high. And so what that is, it's a kind of a side effect of having too high of natural testosterone. It'll bring your testosterone back down. So using the Tribulus Fuel or the Tongat along with the Dimension Estrogen Control will keep the estrogen to a good, normal, healthy level and allow your testosterone levels to keep going up and up and up naturally. But I usually only recommend people use those products if you're very serious about weight training and exercising. There's really no reason to use them if you're not going to get the full benefit with a healthy diet and exercise alongside of them.
But they could use it if they wanted to avoid testosterone replacement therapy, too.
Yes, but I tell this all the time to guys because I have a lot of people that work with that. They don't want to do the injections or the cream. They can use those supplements as a natural testosterone booster instead of going on testosterone replacement therapy. But they've done research studies over and over and over again, guys, and listen to me on this. Just 20 minutes a day of exercise, and not cardio, actually resistant exercise, lifting up weights such as dumbbell, bench press, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, will massively increase testosterone production naturally without any supplements at all. So if you're trying to get your testosterone up, if you don't want to go on HRT, it's really, really, really crucial you start doing at least some mild amount of resistance training at least 4 to 5 days a week. And if you do that and then use it in conjunction with the Tribulus or the Tongat, your results are going to be way more astonishing than you expect them to be because your body is going to be getting more of a mechanical mode. It's going to be firing on all cylinders, so to speak. So that's why Dad and I always talk about you have to do some type of resistance exercise at least 4 to 5 days a week if you're a man. It's really crucial. There's really no way around it. There's nothing like it.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Austin. That's why I train about 25 to 30 minutes. I do it 6 days a week. I hit each body part 3 times a week. When I was younger and I trained with real high intensity, I would hit each body part twice a week because I didn't want to overtrain. I learned that from Boyer Coe, one of the top bodybuilders in the world back in the early 70s. And I learned a long time ago that if you just consistently work out and do something at least 15, 20 minutes a day, that you maintain a lot of your lean muscle mass. That's why at the age of 60 now, you know, I still have a 46-inch chest. I still have, you know, 17.5-inch arms. Never taken a steroid in my entire life. I just monitor my weight. I monitor my resistance training. I train on a regular basis 6 days a week. I have a little gym here at the house I train in. And I said, I don't have to go to the gym. So it's just easy for me to come in and do something at the house. Because remember, if you go into the gym and you're spending 2 and 3 and 4 hours of time, which I used to do when I was in high school, on Saturdays, I used to be a gym manager. I used to run a place called Jerry and B's Health Club over in Winter Haven when I was in high school, for my 16, 17, 18 years old. And I was in the gym all day working out with the guys who were in there training with us. And quite frankly, I just got burned out. I was really gotten to the point where I didn't want to work out anymore. And then I started going to Polk State College back in the, in 74, I was accepted to every major school in Florida, every major university. My grades were so high, but my mom was getting older and I didn't want to leave her by herself because my parents were divorced. And so I chose to stay 2 more years at junior college, and I did that. And then after I started junior college, they had a facility to work out there. So I stopped working out at the gym and I stopped working there as an employee. So it was an interesting way to do things, but I just did it a little bit backwards from a lot of people do it. But I learned the gym, you can overtrain in the gym. Now it's very difficult to overtrain. If you're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, it's almost impossible. But by the time you get to the early, you're 20, 21, you need to be training twice a week per body part, real, real heavy, real, real hard, real, 10 to 12 reps per set with real high intensity. In fact, we have an exercise DVD that I did back in the 90s. It's for beginning, intermediate, exercise for men, and another set of three for women, beginning, intermediate, advanced exercise for women. And we go into detail on the advanced exercise for men, how to basically have a 50-inch chest and a 32-inch waist and 18-inch arms and not take steroids, because I was able to do all of that. But I tell you what, though, you're going to have to work really hard to do that. It doesn't just happen. I remember, Austin, I was working out one time, because back in the 70s, everybody was kind of like everybody liked to look like they were a doper in the 70s because of the 60s. And all the guys had like 12-inch arms, and I'm in here working out with my 18-inch arms and never taking any steroids. And I remember one time a guy came walking in the gym, and he was like 120 pounds, 6'1". I mean, looked like a, bless his heart, like he looked awful. It looked like he was anorexic. And he goes, well, I'd like to start working out, but I don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I looked at him, I started laughing. And then he really said that to me. And I looked at him, I started laughing, and I said, you don't have to worry about that. I said, you're not going to look like Arnold if you go on really, really heavy steroid cycles. You're not going to get a 56-inch chest and 21-inch arms. I said, you can get about as big as I am naturally, but that's about it. You're going to reach a point where your body can't metabolize any more nitrogen. And so that was interesting because I got a big kick out of all that. But it was just people didn't realize how easy it was to stay in shape. 20 to 30 minutes, 4 to 6 times a week will keep you in really good shape if you train correctly with the right level of intensity. But before you start any exercise program at all, you need to check with your doctor. I talked to a man just yesterday who was doing some repairs for me here at the house, and he's about 60 pounds overweight. And he said, oh, I want to start running every day. I said, no, don't run when you're 60 pounds overweight. Don't do that. If you want to lose, you need to lose weight first. You just jog on a little mini trampoline to take the pressure off all the joints. It'll help get your blood pressure down. And I told him the same thing I just told you guys right now. And I said, you do all that, you'll lose about 40 or 50 pounds first. And I said, then do elliptical runners. I said, when you get past the age of 50 and you start running on concrete or running on highways, all you're going to do is end up with knee problems, joint problems, ankle problems, hip problems. It's not worth having to go through hip replacement or knee replacement or joint replacement surgery because you've been running on asphalt with lousy shoes. It's just not worth it. It's easier to hit the gym 20 minutes a day with cardio and, with the weight training, and even just four or five minutes of cardio every day, just even 4 or 5 minutes to get your heart rate up before you hit the weights, you'd be amazed at how lean you are. Back in college, I ran about 8% body fat most of the time, real cut up. And I remember I never even did cardio, but I trained super intense all of the time, and I ate real clean. And when you do that, it's very easy to feel good and look good. And now I'm 60 years old, and I still feel great. Most of the guys my age can't crawl underneath cars doing tactical training like we do and crawling through holes and all the things we do with guns and all the stuff we do when we take our advanced training to tactical training protocols. And because I've decided that I wasn't going to age like that. I mean, I tried aging one time, Austin. I didn't like it. Decided I wasn't doing that again. That was awful, And so that's why I tell folks, look, if you eat the right foods, you do the right things, you really, really slow down your body's aging process. And again, go to healthmasters.com. And get our newsletter, and I'll tell you all of these things in a written format so you can read them all. It'll be sent to you free every day in your newsletter box, healthmasters.com. And also, do me a favor, like us on Facebook. I don't do a lot of the Facebook stuff because I never really had a need to do it. What's our Facebook thing, Austin? How do people find us on Facebook?
It's under Health Masters.
Okay, just on Health Facebook. Masters?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
You don't even know? You don't know? I don't know.
Atlanta monitors all that. Let me check real quick.
You could tell that we don't really push the Facebook or the Twitter.
Yeah,
or all
it's,
that
it's
kind of
our
stuff.
Facebook.com/Team Health Masters.
Okay, Facebook.com. No, healthmasters.com.
is our website.
Yeah, go ahead.
And our Facebook page is facebook.com/teamhealthmasters.
Okay, /teamhealthmasters. And so thank you for liking us on Facebook. I mean, don't really know. We don't do a whole lot with Facebook, but it's nice when people like you on Facebook. But anyhow, anything else? Well, let me, and I want to talk about one other thing too. Let's talk about saturated fats. You know, people are always telling me that I'm going to eat less fat, I'm going to live longer. Guys, it's simply not true. If you eat natural good fats, you actually live longer. And no studies that I've ever seen have ever been done showing that eating dietary fat causes you to reduce, increases the risks of heart disease or diabetes or cancer. Here's six major studies. Let me cover them with you real quick. The first one is the Oslo study. This is from 1968. A study of 412 men aged 30 to 64 found eating a diet of low in saturated fats and high in polyunsaturated fats had no influence on rates of sudden death, number one, like from heart attacks. Number two, L.A. Veteran Study from 1969, a study of 850 elderly men that lasted for 6 years and is widely used to support the diet the heart hypothesis, showed no significant death rates. It didn't make you live any longer. Another one, Minnesota Coronary Survey, began in 1968. Results were delayed until 1989. A study founded by the National Institutes of Health and involving more than 9,000 people, after 4.5 years eating a low-saturated diet, had led to no reduction in cardiovascular events or total deaths. The Finnish Medical Hospital study from 1968, a study of approximately 4,000 people followed for 12 years that is also widely cited in support of the diet-heart hypothesis, there was no reduction in heart disease. There were none, again. The London soybean oil trial. Turn these boys into girls with that. A study of nearly 400 men that lasted for 2 to 7 years showed no difference in heart attack rates for men who followed diet low in saturated fats and high in soybean oil. They should have checked the bra size to see how big their boobs got on that one. The soybean oil, guys, it'll give you gynecomastia. It'll make your breasts get much, much larger, so don't do soy. And finally, the U.S. Multiple Risk Factor Intervention Trial, sponsored by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, another totally misleading, and it's found there was no mortality whatsoever from that. However, the causes from other types of death was even higher. Like cancers. So what you have to realize is that this whole thing about not eating butter and not eating beef is complete and total nonsense. I remember I used to get on the platform, Austin, you remember this, and I'd walk out in front of 40,000 people in a stadium, and I'd be following Schwarzkopf or Colin Powell or somebody. Not Schwarzkopf. Schwarzkopf, General Schwarzkopf. And I'd walk out on the platform, and I'd say, well, I'm here to tell you how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. How many people are interested in that? Let me see your hands. And everybody raised their hands. And I said, well, I've also got some good news for you. I'm going to cover the top 10 foods never to eat, and I'm going to tell you right now that beef, eggs, and butter are not included on my top 10 list of foods to avoid. And the whole place would explode and erupt with applause and screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering. I was telling people this 35 years ago, guys, and I'm still telling you the exact same thing. And all of these fads of these low-fat diets and all this junk that people go on, and they don't want to eat eggs and don't want to eat egg yolks. When you throw away the yolk of the egg, you throw away the sulfur portion of the egg. That's why it's yellow to start with. The sulfur is for your skin, for your hair, for your nails. It's super important if you want to have good, healthy hair and skin and nails, you eat eggs. I eat 4 to 6 eggs every single day. You know, when I'm not on my little chicken vegetable thing that I'm on right now, then I have to kind of calculate the calories in with that when I do that too. But guys, it's easy to stay healthy. Get a copy of our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. We cover all of the stuff in it. We're our Forever Fit series. We also have it on DVD. You can watch the DVD series too. It's all at the healthmasters.com website. What's your next story, Oz?
Another one here on the, this was published in the Journal of Cancer just recently. This is interesting. They're showing this now, and I'll go into it a little bit more after I read the article and let you guys know why this is happening, and that'll know why, too. A recent study now is revealing that colon cancer cases are on the rise for people under the age of 50, who now represent 1 out of every 7 colon cancer patients. From this study, data was compiled from over 250,000 patients diagnosed with colon cancer over a 13-year period, and for cancer patients under the age of 50, this was published in the Journal of Cancer, like I said, revealed that the advanced stage, the cancer was spreading to the lymph nodes, and the symptoms of such that were bowel bleeding or blockage in the colon were the first signs of trouble. This right here is, again, confirming what's going on with the glyphosate issue we're having here in this country and the massive, massive, massive overuse of this GMO chemical and all the GMO foods to begin with. This is not something that 30 and 40 year olds should be having for any reason at all. This is almost directly linked to the glyphosate. I would say so. Am I wrong on that, Dad, or you think that's pretty heavily?
No, there's definitely a direct correlation. We're all being poisoned because of the GMO foods. Also, I want to share one other thing with you, since we're talking about saturated fats and cholesterol levels. A lot of these yuppies, these little trendies, these little soy boys, I call them, these little mamby-pamby men who don't really know what to do as far as they don't know what side of a gun to grip. I mean, these guys are just disgusting to me. You know, I just don't have any use for that because they're not real men as far as I'm concerned. They've decided they're going to reduce their cholesterol and they're going to go on their soy formulas and they're going to reduce their total cholesterol. It's under 150, under 100, and they're going to be trendy. But, you know, the other thing is this whole thing with this juicing. Everyone wants to juice and spend $20 on a shake. You don't have to do all that stuff to stay healthy, guys. It's too complicated. It's too expensive, okay? I don't do that nonsense. Plus, it wreaks havoc with your blood sugar. But here's the problem, Austin. When cholesterol drops under 200, which is what all the trendies like to do now, all disease rates go through the roof, especially cancer. And one of the things that all of these people are doing that are under that age group who are listening to their medical doctors, almost, you know, probably 40 or 50% of them, they're all taking statin drugs. And the statin drugs all have one common side effect. They all cause cancer. So when they lower that cholesterol, I like keeping my cholesterol between 200 and 250. That's where I like to keep it. I don't want to go any lower than that because once you go under 200, your testosterone levels drop way off really fast and your cancer rates go through the roof the lower you get. So the cholesterol drugs, the different types of medications you're using for that, the glyphosate, the fluoride, the pancreatic cancers, the intestinal cancers being done from the sodium nitrite, all of that ties into this, but a lot of it has to do with the trendies wanting their cholesterols under 200 and listening to what the doctors are telling them. And, of course, then you have to look at the immunizations. You have to look at the Nagalase. You have to look at all of the stuff they're doing to us to increase the cancer rates in the United States intentionally. Because remember, there's big money in cancer treatment. They can make a lot of money on somebody before they die with cancer. They can put them through a $1 million protocol if they need to. And as long as they have insurance, they're happy to do it. So, yes, it does tie together with the glyphosate, but a lot more involved than just glyphosate. This is an all-out effort to attack the immune system, Austin, and also the drugs have all these horrible side effects, like massive increases in cancer.
That's interesting. That's definitely a very, very accurate point that I didn't bring up. That's very good. So, I mean, and also, too, make sure you have enough fiber in your diet, guys.
No,
a lot
right.
of people, all they eat is garbage all the time. Fast food this, fast food that. I mean, if you just absolutely are repulsed by the sight of vegetables and you can't bring yourself to eating it, we have a product called Intestinal Cleaner number 19, which is a psyllium seed husk. You can take about 1 to 2 to 3 teaspoons a day of that, and it'll massively increase your overall fiber intake. But still, eating natural vegetables and fruits and stuff on a regular basis, make sure you're getting spinach, green beans, broccoli in your diet, is the best way to go. But the Intestinal Cleaner number 19 is definitely a good option if you can't get those in on a regular basis.
Well, and that's right. And remember now, when you're on the program I'm on now, I'm eating all of these vegetables 3 or 4, 5, 6 times a day, along with the grilled chicken. I mean, you get so much fiber in your diet, it's crazy. Now, another thing that's really good for your intestinal health is sauerkraut and kombucha. Sauerkraut is one of the best things you can eat. It has hardly any calories at all. And you say, well, I don't like sauerkraut. Well, you know, it's one of the things you got to learn. I didn't like kombucha when I started drinking it either, guys. You have to learn to get taste for some of these things that you don't like as much. I mean, these fermented beverages like the kombucha are really good for your intestinal health, and the sauerkraut is really good for the intestinal health and for the bacteria in your intestinal route, and along with raw cabbage is good, like with coleslaw. You can make your own, too. Let's go to another story. Rubio is finished in Florida, says former GOP chairman. With Marco Rubio trailing Donald Trump by over 20 points in the latest Fox News Florida poll, the Florida chairman of the state Republican Party has declared his senator's campaign is done. Rubio is making a last stand in Florida, but many of his closest supporters have told the Washington Post they have little doubt that the GOP's once rising star will likely lose in his home state to Trump. Now listen to what they say. Those exchanges with Mr. Trump were damaging. Al Cardenas, the former head of the state's GOP and longtime chairman of the American Conservative Union, said, which he did personal attacks on the billionaire frontrunner, especially when he was talking about his penis size. Now, you know, think about this. Who in the world would want to have a president who wants to go to the seventh grade again and talk about stuff like this? I mean, unbelievable. Here's a quote. Here's another friend that they said a quote in the article. He goes, up until he started talking about how Donald Trump has a small penis, It was brilliant, he said. Focusing on the size of his hands or the color of his skin, that was stupid. Meanwhile, Trump struck back, branding Rubio Little Marco, Little Rubio. The label stuck as Rubio struggled to show gravitas. Okay, here's the thing. Number one, we know that Marco got busted outside of the men's bathroom with his buddy, the porn boy, in Miami. That's just criminal records. Okay, we know that happened. We know that his buddy was from high school. We know that he danced in these bars and sometimes the gay bars with his little dance troupe that he was on. And he has suspected of going to the foam parties, in which he, that's where he came up from, which is a big gay party thing down in the Miami scene. And that's why everybody calls him Bubble Boy. So the truth is, I doubt he'll even be reelected to the state Senate, Austin. I think he has completely and totally soiled himself in this entire campaign. And he has showed the level of maturity that he has is that of a kindergarten child, or best, somebody who's in seventh or eighth grade in the schoolyard yelling insults about people's body parts. I mean, it's the ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And again, they attack Trump, he goes higher in the polls, Marco goes down. And the truth of the matter is, people have had enough of these career politicians and these lying thieves, these lying sacks of crap like Ted Cruz, who went and told everybody that Ben Carson had left the campaign with his robo-dialing, that vote for him. He stole, he cheated, and he lied. So, guys, I've got a whole big thing I'm doing right now on Ted Cruz. I won't have time to probably get it done until Monday because I'll be on with Hagman tomorrow night. But I've got a whole bunch of stuff that I found out about Ted Cruz that I'm going to report to you guys, and it's going to be some mind-blowing stuff. And it's going to be some crazy stuff, but I'll have that for you on Monday. I'll be on with part of the show tomorrow with Austin, be on with Hagman for the full 3 hours tomorrow night. I will be on with Dave Hodges in the second and third hour on Sunday night, and I will be on with our show with me and my wife, Sharon, on the first hour from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night, covering a lot of new topics on that, too. I worked today pulling a whole bunch of new articles and research out of the office, and so we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff to cover tomorrow night we haven't talked about at this point. So Rubio is done. What's your next story, Oz?
That's another health-related story. This is a new published journal in endocrinology. The study was titled Tumor Autonomous Effects of Vitamin D Deficiency Promote Breast Cancer Metastasis. The thing about it wasn't here. I didn't realize this because I started reading it. And, you know, most of the time you rarely ever hear any type of, you know, medical journals try and promote stuff. But they've come out now and they said that not only are many breast cancer patients found frequently to have pre-existing very low levels of vitamin D, but a number of studies have found an inverse link between breast cancer risk and vitamin D status. This, again, outlines the vitamin D cancer relationship. And it goes into further in detail in it, but I just wanted to touch on that because, again, it just goes to show you how important vitamin D is in your diet, that you're getting adequate sun. If you're not getting adequate sun, then you're definitely taking external, you know, amounts of vitamin D orally. The vitamin D3 10,000 K2 that we carry is one of the best options for that. But I've had so many people. I had a lady up in Alaska a while back. I talked about it a few months ago. And, you know, obviously they have times up there where there's not a whole lot of sunlight. And she was having a real severe issue with depression, energy, mood, focus, everything. She says, we don't get any light, we don't get any sun, it's just black, I feel horrible, I have no energy. And so I said, well, the first thing out of anything you need to get on is the vitamin D. And so she wanted to add a couple other things, so we threw her on the Ultimate Multiple and the cod liver oil as well. And it came in, and she called me up like a week later, and she's like, I haven't even started on the other two products. I just started on the D3 10,000 with one capsule a day. She goes, by the third day, she goes, I feel like a completely different person. I can't even tell you how much more energy I have now. And I was super happy for it. I was excited. But it just goes to show you how important that vitamin is to have in our diet. Most of our food is so depleted now, and most of the fish are so depleted, there's very little amounts of vitamin D that we get naturally. That's why sunlight is so important. But the chemtrails have a tendency to scorch out the sun most of the time with their fog. So external, you know, vitamin D orally is definitely going to be the best option right now for all of us to keep healthy immune system. And now they're even saying it in this journal. According to this journal, there's a direct correlation between low levels of vitamin D and breast cancer. It doesn't get any more clear than that.
And also remember, when your cholesterol, your body converts the cholesterol next to your skin to vitamin D from sunlight. If you don't have enough cholesterol, you can't produce enough vitamin D either, even if you're in the sunlight, if you're on statin drugs. Plus, on top of everything else, people don't even realize, Austin, when they put all these drugs and other chemicals into their body, it interferes with the synthesis of a lot of these different chemicals and hormones. Also, remember with vitamin D, this is super important, that the vitamin D is a lanolin-based D from sheep's wool. Do not use synthetic vitamin D. It has to be vitamin D3 from sheep's wool, lanolin-based. That's the best you're going to get. Because remember, this acts more like a hormone in your body than it does a drug or a vitamin. And so what you need to do is you need to understand that you got to get really high quality levels of D. Now, our D is 10,000 IUs. That's a super high dose. And it's probably the best dosing you can do initially. But then after you've taken it for a couple of months, I suggest you go get yourself blood tested at your local doctor who does this. Or you go down to the laboratory and just tell me what vitamin D test. They'll do that for you, too, and have to go to the doctor. And then what you can do is get it tested. You need to keep it around 70 to 80 on the test and not go over that. And always make sure your vitamin D contains K2. You don't want to take vitamin D by itself because if the levels get too high, you don't have sufficient quantities of K. You can actually cause arterial plaquing with calcium. So you don't want to do that. So it's very, very important on vitamin D that you take the D3K2. That's so important, guys, especially if you're not going to monitor it like you need to on a regular basis. And also potassium iodine has been shown to massively reduce the risks of breast cancer. So now we have major prestigious journals are saying that potassium iodide and vitamin D3 are critical to reduce the risks of breast cancer. But when you get outside, people put on sunscreen, can't convert to vitamin D. Get outside, yep. You got chemtrails, can't convert to vitamin D. Nor up north, you have what's called seasonal affective disorder. You can't get enough sunshine to make enough vitamin D. You have depression and mood swings. And I've written entire articles on this on our website that you can read. Here's another article. A Freightliner is to lay off 1,250 employees in Mount Holly, Cleveland, due to a lack of demand. They're shutting down an entire department up there as far as cutting down on trucks that they're producing and chassis that they're building for semi-trucks because the economy is getting so much slower. China just reported for February they had a 25% drop in 1 year in the amount of exports they were putting out year to year, February to February. 25% reduction. That is insanely huge. That's like 1929 depression levels is what's going on in China right now. So it's one of those things people need to realize that we've got a lot of crazy stuff going on. Here's another one. Spring break is turning into a police state over in Texas. Cops are now flying drones to spy on partying children to bust them for victimless crimes. Unbelievable. This is out of Texas. They're actually flying drones over. They're saying it's only to make sure the kids are safe in the water. Has nothing to do with the water. They got lifeguards for that. Just to see if they're drinking alcohol, if they're having a party, or whatever they're having. They want to use the drones now to bust these children. And they're talking about the high-resolution cameras that they're using. It says it's a 4K camera, so it's crystal clear. And they're bragging on this, that they're allowed to do this and allowed to do this legally. This should be against the law. So what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely, there should be some serious restrictions on it because I understand the usage that they have used in some lifeguard areas before as far as oceanfront patrol. If somebody gets lost out in sea, it's very easy to get a bird's eye view of them if they get swept out to sea. The problem is they're using that as an excuse now to monitor them. There's very few, if any, rarely any spring break drowning deaths. I mean, there's always a couple of them, but as far as the chances of somebody getting swept out to sea is very rare. And also, on top of that, you don't need a 4,000K camera to effectively see if somebody's been out there. These cameras are so strong on these things. I was reading that article earlier. They can be 200-300 feet up in the air, and they can zoom down right on you and actually, like, look in your drink, read something that you're wearing on a bracelet. I mean, these cameras are ridiculously expensive, and they're very high quality. Another aspect of why they're doing this is because, of course, spring breakers are usually all either upper high school or college kids, and they're using this to effectively indoctrinate this younger generation, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, into accepting the fact that even when they go party at spring break for the weekend, they're going to be monitored on a 24/7 basis by police. That's just normal now, so you need to accept it. You can party, but I can guarantee you it's massively going to increase the number of arrests that they have out there. Whether the cops want to admit it or not, they're going to arrest more people for stupid, petty little crimes, not even crimes, victimless statutes, I like to call them, And that way they can sell a bond on them. They can bring them in jail. They can ruin their whole weekend. They can have their parents get mad at them. They got to come out there and bond them out of jail. And they have an arrest record. Then they got to go to court and they got to get an attorney. Blah, blah, blah. The whole thing goes down. And it'll be for, like, underage drinking because somebody was 20 years old and they had a beer in their hand, which I've known multiple people to have that problem. I've known people that have gotten arrested for underage drinking with a sealed beer in their hand and they had not even consumed alcohol yet. At a party one time when it got raided, unopened beer in their hand.
Next door to my house. That was
and another one. That one too. I remember that one was insane. And what these cops like to do is they like to make big giant brouhahas out of it. Say, well, we're preventing these kids from underage drinking and getting involved in drugs. Well, here's the issue that nobody talks about. Regardless if you go arrest them, if they're young, if they want to go do this, they're going to engage in this type of behavior. This is what a lot of kids do when they're in high school and college. Now all of a sudden you're putting them where they have an arrest record, which could later on affect their life in getting a job, in getting into college, all for stupid, stupid, petty statutes like underage drinking. Like I said, I'm not, you guys already know my stance on alcohol consumption if you hear me. I don't think alcohol consumption is a positive aspect at all, but sitting there giving a kid an arrest record for underage drinking when they're 19, 20 years old and not driving, not operating a motor vehicle, not being drunk and disorderly in public, not stirring up a riot or causing a fight, it's really over the top. And that's what they're going to do with these drones. That's exactly why they have them. They want to monitor. And that way what they'll do is they'll use the drones the same way they use the airplanes on the interstate when they clock you. They'll have a group of troopers, of pockets of them, all up and down the beach, and they'll have the drone fly by about over 100 feet where the kids can't throw stuff and hit it. They'll be zoomed down on them. As soon as they see somebody that looks underage, as soon as they see him smoking a joint, as soon as they see him doing anything, they're immediately going to send a whole slew of troopers over there and force to take these kids down, slam them in the dirt, put their face in it, arrest them, drag them all off to jail and give them arrest records, and then the drone will move on to another cluster of individuals. I promise you 100% that's how the situation is going to be handled with these drones. If you don't believe me, just go and watch it and see what happens.
Well, you know, let me tell you what happened behind our house. This is funny. I had gone to a national known preacher. He was preaching over in Orlando one night over at the Amway Center. This has got to be close to, 9 years ago now. I'll never forget this. When I came home about 11 o'clock at night, and I remember there were like 40 kids piled up in my driveway, and there was like 10 Auburndale police cars and sheriff's cars all over the place. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, lights on. I'm thinking, what the heck's going to get killed out here? And what happened, our neighbor, I'm not going to mention name out of respect for them, their son was turning 21 years old at midnight, and they decided to throw a party for him to turn 21. And then what happened, as kids do, they had some kids sneak in there that were underage, and the kid who was having the party, they arrested him at 11 o'clock at night, 1 hour before he turned 21, and he got a record from this for underage drinking. I kid you guys not. I was livid. I could not believe it. They arrested over 40 children that night. And I mean, it was absolutely horrific. I mean, it was horrible. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees. Unbelievable mess. In court forever. Plea bargains them all out. I mean, what a mess. It was under the justification of underage drinking is bad. Now, don't get me wrong. Underage drinking is bad. And the parent should have had the party when the guy turned 21 the following day. I agree with that. Okay, it was like a Saturday night or a Friday night. I don't remember anymore. And it was they wanted to do it before the end of the weekend. And it was a major, major mess. In fact, my neighbors had to have his record expunged. They also arrested him for contributing to the delinquency of minors. And the sad part about all of this stuff is these were all victimless crimes. Nobody was even driving automobiles. Most of them had walked over. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like that before. And I was very, very disappointed that this happened to these kids. I believe they should have come in if they were going to arrest anybody, which they shouldn't have. They should have busted the parents for having these kids in there drinking in their house and been done with it. They should have called the parents, the kids' families, said, hey, you need to pick your little brat up. They're over here drinking. You need to take care of this and not give them arrest records, not put them in zip ties, not haul them off to the police department. That would have been okay with me. I wouldn't have liked it, but it would have been okay because it was a true infraction going on in which somebody was giving alcohol to a minor. Okay, I got that. But don't arrest all the kids. You know, don't do that. What a mess. And I remember that was years and years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday, son. Here's Coach Dabelmeyer. He's a friend of mine. He wrote a really good article today on News with Views, and I want to read part of this to you. He was talking about Trump and why Donald Trump has gotten so much support. And what he says is this. He goes, Donald Trump is a man, capital M-A-N, in a nation where manhood is a very short supply. His popularity is not about his conservatism or his, quote, Christianity, but as we saw again last night in Mississippi, of all places, the buckle of the Bible Belt, the Trumpster won again, won a majority of the evangelical vote. The South was supposed to be cruise country in the heart of Christianity, where cleaning the Bibles and guns is passed through the DNA from one generation to the next. A state where using the name of Jesus or Yeshua is a token of praise rather than an object of damnation. Where Ted Cruz's values were as common as gumbo and rattlesnakes. The official beverage of Mississippi is milk, for Pete's sake. Yet suppose Ted Cruz voters pulled the lever for Donald Trump. Something big is going on in America. What people have to put their finger on it is, what, why are Christians voting for Trump? Well, he goes on to say that basically we've had it with these pastors in these pulpits and these guys who claim to be Christians who act like they're Metro boys and that, like, they act like they're all gay. That's what he basically says. He goes, Trump makes women feel safe. Trump says what the average Christian man is thinking but too afraid to say. They are sick of politically correct America and the pastors and the politicians who are too cowardly to speak the truth. They see the Donald as a man who doesn't bend to pressure and doesn't need their approval. America is looking for a fighter. Donald Trump, as crass and harsh as he has proven himself to be, he will not roll over when he's attacked. They are sick of compromise. They look into the pulpits and they look at the politicians and they see nothing but capitulation. Let's get along with everybody types. America is not electing a king or a pastor, and because they are so disgusted, they are ready to roll the dice on a gambler from Atlantic City. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Kill them all, let God sort it out. Americans are voting for the return for the days of straight shooters like Clint Eastwood and John Wayne. Masculinity is finally making a comeback in America. It's no more complicated than that. Now, what we all need is pastors with a spine who will be able to save this country. That's the best article I've ever seen Dave write, Austin. And I even sent him a text this morning and told him, I said, man, that was a great article you wrote. He's absolutely right. People have had it with the mamby-pamby politicians who run around with lace on their panties, who are a bunch of stinking pedophiles who like to screw little boys up in Washington, D.C. and enjoy themselves in their secret societies. They sodomize each other. And if this language is too strong for you, it's the truth. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this today. The United Nations is out here promoting sodomy. They're promoting pedophilia. This is exactly what the Catholic priests do. Everybody turns the other head and go, oh, he's a priest. Have mercy on him. Just send him to another parish. That way he doesn't have to sodomize our children anymore. He can sodomize somebody else's kids. Are you kidding me? He needs to be put in prison for this, for doing this to little children. I've had it. Dobermeier's right. And that's why the whole country has had enough. The German word is genug. We're genug of all of it. That's why all of us who are sick of political correctness, we're looking for a real man in the White House. We don't need Bubble Boy Cruz. We don't need Obama who went all the gay bars in Chicago. We don't need this in the White House anymore. We want a man who's going to be a man and who's not going to compromise and roll up like Kerry did the last time he was, you know, he was basically debating the president, Obama. He rolled up. Candy Crowley made him roll up like a window shade. He collapsed. Unbelievable. And Obama got a second term. We don't need a man like that in the White House anymore. We don't need a dictator, but we need a real man. We need a Ronald Reagan. We need a Ted Kennedy. We don't need these boys. We need a Theodore Roosevelt. We don't need these mamby-pamby, girly men who run around with lace on their underwear, who are involved in all types of pedophilia, sadistic, occult societies. Genug on it all. I've had enough of it. That's how I feel, Austin. That's why I love this article that he wrote today. You got any comments on that?
Well, no, Coach, he's really accurate on most of the stuff he writes. I agree with him almost all the time, and this is exactly why. I had this discussion, I think, a couple days ago on the show. I told you, somebody was asking me about that, and you know, they're like, oh, you're voting for Trump? So what, are you voting for Hillary? I mean, is there any type of question who you need to be voting for right now? If you haven't figured it out yet, then you really need to do some self-reflection and figure out where you stand in life and what you stand for, because everybody is to the point where I am that has any type of sense, they're sick of it. The same thing like Coach said. Everybody, we all are in agreement now that we need somebody in there that basically has some aggression, that is willing to stand up and say no. that isn't going to put up with it. But here's another article now that the FBI now is putting an initiative based on the same thing Britain does now, where they're doing mass surveillance programs across high schools. We already knew that. And they're using students to try and get them to snitch on other students if they express anti-government or anarchy political beliefs. This is interesting. Now, the document claims public school educators are in a unique position to affect change, impart affirmative messaging, or facilitate intervention activities, include informing on students and getting students to inform on one another. It calls for observing and assessing concerning behaviors and communications of students embracing extremist ideologies. The FBI's program targets domestic violent extremist movements, including anti-government groups. According to the FBI, they say some adults embrace domestic violence extremist ideologies, and their beliefs can permeate, often sometimes influencing their children. Again, more of the police state, more of the political correctness, more of the complete and total jargon that everybody's sick of hearing. This is what's going on now. These kids are going to school, and they know what's right. They hear their parents talk about it. They realize we're sick of living in this type of tyrannical police state, and they're expressing their viewpoints at school. So now the FBI does is now they're having to get the teachers and all the other snitches at the school to try and turn kids in to say, oh, he said something about this. Oh, he said something about that. He could be an extremist. He's a constitutionalist. Oh, his parents store food. He's a prepper. You need to make sure you monitor him and you talk to his parents when he comes over. That's exactly what's going on here. That's exactly what they're promoting. And this is another one of those reasons why I tell everybody, keep your kids out of public school sectors. If you're at a private Christian school, make sure you know what's going on there. But the public school systems are absolutely horrendous now.
No, you're absolutely right, Austin. You're not going to get any better. It's going to get much worse. Here's another article. If Americans love socialism so much, why don't they move to Venezuela? Hey, you want to see what living under socialism is like? Go ahead. Let's look. Look at what's happening in Venezuela, where the president is hiking gas prices 6,000% to put a band-aid on his crumbling economy. This is from the Preserve Freedom website. Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro on Wednesday announced a staggering 6,000% hike in petrol prices and a sharp devaluation of the currency to shore up the oil-rich nation's battered economy. Venezuela, which gets 95% of its export revenue through oil, has been hit hard by the collapse of the price of the commodity, which has fallen to $34 a barrel from $90 a barrel from 2 years ago. I mean, this is crazy what's going on in Venezuela with what's happening with the food shortages and what's happening with the military now firing into crowds with real live bullets, not with rubber bullets, killing people. See, this is what happens when this country, which was actually doing pretty good under Chavez, decided it wanted its gold back and wanted to start trading it other than the petrodollar. They took the country out. They took the president out. I'm sure they gave him some type of fast-acting cancer, and now they've let it go into complete disarray to use this country as an example of what happens when you don't lick the boot of the Federal Reserve banks. And I'm telling you guys, I know that sounds harsh, but that's what this is all about with Venezuela. There's absolutely no excuse, as much oil as they have down there, that this is even an issue in their country. And these South American countries, for some reason, they just have a tendency to do a lot of coup d'etats. Operation Condor, I believe, is still going pretty strong down there. I believe that's what happened with Chavez. And I really believe this is not going to get any better for Venezuela until they decide to go ahead and lick the boot of their masters again and start signing over assets of the country back to the Rothschild cartel. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, you're exactly right. I think they used this as an example. I remember a couple of years ago when, or probably more than a couple of years ago now, when Chavez demanded he got all that gold back.
That's right.
I mean, you talked about it. You laughed here. He's never getting that back. He said, they'll make sure they do everything they can before they deliver all that gold back because they don't have that gold. This is the hardest thing for people to wrap their heads around. The gold isn't there anymore. Fort Knox has no gold in it. There are no gold reserves to any serious amount of weight anymore. There may be some holdings here and there, but a lot of these numbers that they come up with and they tell everybody are completely and totally bogus. They are never going to allow that much gold to sit in accessible vaults when the entire economy implodes and the dollar devalues. all that gold is going to be moved somewhere else. And what happens is when it comes out of the bag and everybody finds out all the gold's gone, they're going to say, well, we moved it to a safer area because we thought the economy might be happening because of natural inflation and this and that. Or, you know, the Chinese were maybe going to attack, so we moved the gold. That's what's going to happen. But I knew they were never going to give Chavez that gold back down there, at least not an entirely amount. They do everything they could, and now exactly like you said, now they're using.
Well, they gave him some of it back, but then he was dead right after that. But what was interesting about this is, what they've done with the Exchange Stability Fund back in 1934, where they used to allow foreign currencies to exchange their dollars for gold, and this went all the way into 1971 with Nixon, and when Nixon put a stop to it, when pretty much all the gold was gone out of Fort Knox, and what these international banking cartels see, the Rothschild banking cartel owns the Bank of France, of Germany, all this stuff, okay? They own all of this. And so what they were doing is they were using the money they were getting out of the United States as leverage to pull gold out of the United States to do it legally, to strip us of that asset. That's why they did that. And finally, Nixon had enough of it. He allowed us to go on a free floating exchange rate. But that didn't work very well. We started having really bad problems with inflation. So what he did is he tied the currency to the petrodollar through Saudi Arabia. And when he did that, then all currency, all oil purchases through OPEC had to be done with U.S. dollars. That's what the petrodollar is. And so what happened is it stabilized the U.S. dollar. And it's given us this 50 years now of this huge amount of just ability to print as many dollars as we want and not reduce the demand for the dollars because they're still having to buy oil. So that's what the Rothschild banking cartel is terrified of. That's what the United States government is terrified of, that we lose the reserve currency status and the petrodollar goes away. Because if that happens, nobody will want to take our money any longer, and the United States will go into hyperinflation, and what will happen is we'll just have a whole complete and total destruction of the lifestyle and the quality and standard of living we have in the United States. Because quite frankly, guys, because of what the Rothschild banking cartel has done to us, we are a bankrupt nation. You can't invade 10 countries all at once and maintain police states in over 150 countries and police presence and military presence and not bankrupt yourself. It's impossible. You know, England tried to do it. The Roman Empire tried to do it. There's not enough money. You can't tax the people enough to do that. So they just print this fiat currency out of nothing and they add it to the deficit. Obama's doubled the deficit now since he took office in the last 8 years. And it'll double again whoever the next president is, if it's not Trump. I don't think Trump's going to allow that, Austin. I think Trump's going to cut back on all of this stuff. But he's learned real quick. If you try to balance the budget, you could track the M1 money supply because you start taking money out of circulation. Nixon learned it the hard way. Clinton learned it the hard way. And both times it put the country into a recession. It doesn't work that way. You have to continually expand the monetary base to have growth in the country. That's why you always have to deal with inflation. That's what the, quote, central bank was supposed to do, was to control the inflation rates. But the only thing they've done is made sure they've extracted almost the entire wealth out of the United States. Thank you guys for listening today. Healthmasters.com, Healthmasters, HEALTHMASTERS, Healthmasters.com. We thank you for listening to the show today. Hope you enjoyed it. We went real heavy into nutrition today. We've had a lot of guys request us to do that. We decided to do that for a bit. We love you and we appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your vitamins from us. We appreciate you. Austin, go ahead.
Yes, guys. Thank you for everything. And if you need anything, you know where to call. Check out our website. Or sign up for our weekly newsletter. We're sending, you know, them out every single week now, so we got a lot of good info. And Dad will also be on the Hagman Show tomorrow night. I will be hosting the show. Will I be hosting the show? Are you going to be on the show with me tomorrow?
For a little bit, not all the whole show.
Okay. So it'll be me and him. He'll be partially on the show tomorrow, then it'll be me the rest of it. Then you'll have him on the Hagman Show. You guys have a blessed night, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Love you guys.